Sometimes the members of the Lord's church are accused of talking about water too much. But the Bible has much to say about water and how God uses it. And that's what I want us to look at this morning. We've got a fine audience this morning. It's good to see everyone that's out. It's good to have Sister Pat out with us this morning. And as Brother Code was doing, we need to be praying for all of the members here. Well, so when we talk about water and God, how does God use water? God uses water to divide. He uses it to divide. Let's start back at the beginning in Genesis, and we will look at several passages as we go through God's record of Him using water. What does divide mean? Divide means to mark off by boundaries or limits, to separate, rightly dividing, accurately. And a lot of times water is just a natural dividing line. You head south, what are you going to run into? The Ohio River. What does the Ohio River do? It separates Ohio from Kentucky. It's a natural dividing line. As we've been reading in the book of Revelation about the great river Euphrates, what did that do? That separated the Roman Empire from those from their enemy across the river. Let's before we get to Genesis, I want to mention John 3:3 to keep in mind as we go through this. In John 3:3, Jesus told Nicodemus, he answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." This is why a lot of times people don't want to hear us talking about water and baptism. But Jesus talked about water, and that also causes division. Just like the Ohio River makes a division, baptism talks about division. And again, some people will say we focus on it too much, but let's go back to the beginning, Genesis chapter 1. And let's begin looking at verse 5. "God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, 'Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters.'" Notice that phrase, "divide the waters from the waters." "Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which are under the firmament from the waters which are above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, so the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, 'Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let dry land appear.' And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called the seas. And God saw that it was good." So from the very beginning in God's record, he talks about water and how it divides. And there is that theme that goes throughout God's word. Let's turn several chapters in Genesis over to chapter 7. Chapter 7, and let's begin looking at verse 10. "And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were on the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were open, and the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights." So notice it mentions water under the earth, water above the earth. You drop down in chapter 7 to verse 15. "And they went into the ark to Noah, two by two of all flesh, in which is the breath of life. So those that entered, male and female of all the flesh, went in as God had commanded, and the Lord shut him in. Now the flood was on the earth 40 days. The waters increased and lifted up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and greatly increased on the earth, and the ark moved about on the surface of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly on the earth, and all the high hills under the whole heaven were covered. The waters prevailed 15 cubits upward, and the mountains were covered. And all the flesh died that moved on the earth, birds and cattle and beasts, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of the Spirit of life, all that was on the dry land died. So he destroyed all living things which are on the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping thing and the bird of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive. And the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. So notice how God uses water with Noah. What did water divide? Water divided the saved from the lost. Water saved all of those that were on God's side. Water destroyed all of those that were not on God's side. Notice that water cleansed the earth. There was an old earth before the flood, and then there is a new earth after the flood. The earth was different. It was cleansed. And you think about that, and you got to go back to what I said at the beginning. In John 3:3, the new birth, you must be born again. We're cleansed in that new birth. And God cleansed the world of wickedness with water. The earth was so wicked, he destroyed the whole earth, all the wickedness, and he cleansed it. And what was that cleansing agent that he used? It was water. And we know with Noah that God saved Noah and his family with water. That's the element that he used to save Noah. How do we know that? Because Peter gave us a commentary on that in 1 Peter 3:20-21. Peter says, "Who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine longsuffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved." Saved through water. There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. See how we are cleansed through that water of baptism? Not, again, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but when we answer what God tells us to do, the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we will be saved through the water just like Noah was. So God used water from the beginning of creation, and he used it with Noah. Let's move forward in God's word and look in Exodus chapter 14. Because again, God uses water throughout the Bible. Exodus 14, verse 13. "And Moses said to the people, 'Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever.'" Here we have Israel and the Red Sea. We drop down to verse 21. "Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, and Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen." And we know what happens. And again, God used water as a dividing line. What did this water divide? It divided the saved from the lost. God saved Israel with water. And what did God do with water to the Egyptians? He destroyed them. He destroyed them with water. When the Israelites were traveling from Egypt, leaving Egypt, going to the Promised Land, 1 Corinthians 10:2, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. When they were delivered from the bondage of Egypt, they were, in a sense, baptized into Moses. Because when they went through on dry ground, they were surrounded. When God, by Moses, parted the Red Sea and the cloud overhead, the water over above, water on both sides, they were baptized. And God uses water as a way to divide. Let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 5. Second Kings chapter 5 and beginning at verse 10. Here we're looking at Naaman and his leprosy. And Elijah sent a messenger to him saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." But Naaman, he became furious and went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord and wave his hand over this place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all these waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then, when he says to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. In 2 Kings 5, how did God use water? He used it as a dividing line. God used water and obedience to save Naaman. Water cleansed Naaman. Again, we saw that with Noah. We'll see that again back in John 3. But water is a cleansing agent. It cleansed Naaman. And water restored Naaman. His flesh was like a little child again. What did the water divide? The water divided health from disease. It divided being whole from being sick. God talks a lot about water in His Word. It's throughout the Bible. Well, let's turn back where we started to John chapter 3. And in John chapter 3, in verse 1, there is a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Friend, what kept Nicodemus from being saved? What separated him from being saved? It was water. He had to be born again. Paul told the Colossians in Colossians chapter 2, beginning at verse 11, "In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism." What kind of baptism? Water baptism. "Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he is made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Again, you read this and it's like back to Naaman, where they were sick. Naaman was sick, and then he became, his flesh was cleansed, and like a little child. When we're buried in water baptism, we're dead. Our filthy old man is dead and buried. And then we're made alive together again and forgiven of our trespasses. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse 3, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so even we also should walk in newness of life." So here, this baptism, this water baptism, is it makes us dead. And it does that in several ways. When we're dead, when somebody's dead, what do? We bury them. We bury them. The water baptism is a burial. But then we also see that this water baptism makes us alive. We bury the old man, and then we arise to walk in newness of life. Do you think we talk too much about water? Do people think that God talks too much about water? I think we don't talk enough about it. Sometimes we think everybody knows they need to be baptized. The church has had a reputation in the past, and I don't know, maybe we don't talk enough about that. We need to get people to see that they need to be saved. And how do they do that? They have to be obedient to God's word. Did people listen to Noah? Sadly, they did not. But Noah kept on preaching to them. We plant the seed, we keep telling people what they needed to do. But water goes all the way back to the beginning of the Bible. God used water to divide. God used waters to divide above and below. God divided the waters on the earth, the seas and the dry land. So from creation, from the beginning with creation, God uses water. With Noah, God used water to divide. Water separated the saved from the lost. Water saved Noah and condemned the world. Now, when was Noah saved with that flood? Was it when he got into the boat? Well, he was in the boat when the flood subsided. Was he still saved then? I would say that he was not saved completely until he came out on dry land, just with all the other comparisons. And again, what does it talk about then? Where there is like a new earth. All of that sin had been washed away, all of that wickedness. Not that Noah was wicked, he was a righteous man, but all of that sin and wickedness had been washed away. Noah was saved after he went through the flood and came out safely on the other side on new ground. And I say that because, friends, if we just go down into the water and come up and we don't change our heart, we're still going to be that old man living that old way. Well, again, with Israel, God used water to divide. Water saved the Israelites and condemned the Egyptians. So with the Israelites, when were they saved? Were they saved when they got right up to the Red Sea and looked at it? Were they saved when they started walking through the Red Sea? They weren't saved till they got on the other side when they came up out of the Red Sea. Again, all of these illustrations is where they are covered with water. They are covered with water. With Noah, with Israel in the Red Sea, with Naaman. Naaman, and again with him, God used water to divide. God separated Naaman from being made whole and being sick with water. And you go back to following God's word. The first time that Naaman dipped, was he made whole? No, he had to do it as many times as he was whole, as he was told to. He had to comply to God's word to the fullest extent. You look at all of those examples, and then you come to the sinner. You look at Nicodemus, you look at myself, you look at you. Can we change God's plan on water and what we have to do? We can't do that. God still uses water to divide with the sinner. It's a dividing line. It's a source of division. Water separates us from being lost and being saved. Not just water alone. We have to repent. We confess Christ as our Savior. But water is what separates us from being lost or being saved. Just like the Ohio River separates Ohio from Kentucky. John records the words of Jesus in John chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." You just stop and think about some of these sayings of Christ where he's the water of life, and whoever drinks of this water will never thirst again. Do we talk too much about water? I don't think we do. A fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. John records the words of Jesus in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 6. "And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts.'" Friends, that's a great invitation. That's a great blessing. But what does that fountain do? Again, it divides. It divides those that are saved. It divides those that are lost. In Revelation 22:17, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, 'Come.' Let him who hears say, 'Come.' And let him who thirsts, 'Come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." Friends, if we don't take of the water of life of Christ, we are not going to have everlasting life. Jesus is the water of life. Jesus separates men. Jesus separates the saved from the lost with water. Now, which side of that dividing line are you on? Are you on the side where you have not been baptized? It's a dividing line. Or have you been baptized? Have you been immersed? Have you repented of your sins and come up on the other side? Then you can know that you are saved. Friends, God uses water in different ways. He's made it so plain and clear what we need to do. The question just remains, what are you willing to do? Friends, if we miss heaven, we miss it all. If there's anybody here this morning that wants to be obedient to the Word of God, to be baptized, to be buried in with Him in baptism for the forgiveness of your sins, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.